The reading today is from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This can be found on page 1128 of the Church Bibles. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. For reading that for us. And please keep that passage open in front of you, page 1128. And those two verses, although we're actually only going to focus on one of them. But let's pray together. Father, we praise you that for what you did in Martin Luther's life and how you transformed him. And we praise you that before him and since him, you have been transforming people by the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And we praise you that we have received it too. And we pray that today, this morning, as we look at these verses, you would open our eyes, maybe for some of us for the first time, to the wonderful truth of the gospel that Luther rediscovered. Father, work it into our hearts, we pray. Move among us this morning by your Spirit as we look at your word. Amen. Well, as we've said, 500 years since the Reformation. Now, you might be thinking, why are we coming back to this? Because we did this kind of thing early in the year, didn't we? We did the five solas of the Reformation as a sermon series. Well, this is Reformation Sunday, because it was last Tuesday, well, 500 years ago last Tuesday, that was the actual anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. That's why we're doing this today. And what happened there, that nailing of those 95 Theses, well, it was kind of what followed on from that, sparked a change which transformed people's lives, transformed countries, it changed the world, what happened through the Reformation. But what was it? What was it that they rediscovered in the Bible that so dramatically took hold of people, that people were prepared to die for what they discovered? Well, sadly, most people today, most non-Christians, don't know actually what the truth of the gospel is. Most non-Christians maybe think they know what Christianity is about, but haven't really grasped what Martin Luther rediscovered in the Bible. And so we're going to look today at what is the gospel. But actually, this is important for you if you're a Christian as well. Because we as Christians, we need to keep hearing the gospel. Martin Luther himself said this in his commentary on the book of Galatians in the Bible. He said this. Coming up on the screen, he says, I haven't quite finished the quote yet, so I will finish it in a moment. It says, the truth of the gospel is the principal article of all Christian doctrine. Most necessary is it that we know this article well, teach it to others, and beat it into their heads continually. You see, Martin Luther knew that unless we keep coming back to the gospel over and over and over again, we will drift from it. And actually, what he says in that commentary is, it's like the gospel is a straight path, but none of us Christians, even though we may know the gospel well enough to be saved, we none of us have the gospel permeating every part of our lives. We all drift off from that straight path of the gospel. Yes, we may know it, but it hasn't really reached every part of our lives and our thinking and our feelings and and every bit of us. So we each one of us need to keep bashing the gospel over our heads and over one another's heads. So therefore, that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to bash you with the gospel and myself with the gospel as well, just so you don't feel it's just going one way. We've got to hear the gospel and we've got to keep hearing it. So we're going to look first at what is the gospel, what the gospel is, and then what the gospel isn't. We've got two things under what the gospel isn't. And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that to begin with. We're going to look at what the gospel is, and we're going to look at the verse that transformed Luther in his tower in the monastery as he was studying the Bible. There was one verse in particular that the Lord used to open his mind to the truth of the gospel. It was a verse that Ollie read. It was the second one of the verses. It was verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. Now, you can have it in front of you. I'm also going to put it on the screen as well. So here it is. What the gospel is, this is the verse. It's up on the screen there. I'm going to reread it for us. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, if you're a pathfinder, you've got a sheet. Others may have them as well, but you've got a sheet and you can follow through. I've not done them as fill the gaps because some people were saying that's a bit too, it's almost distracting filling in the gaps because you're trying to work out what to put in the gap rather than actually listening. So I've just done it as a sheet with where you can follow through what I'm saying, but feel free to write on the sheet and scribble all over it and I'll write questions or whatever, all right? I mean, don't just cross it all out, but use it to help you, all right? So, what the gospel is. Now, from this verse, first thing that we need to think about is, what does it mean by righteousness? There you go, in red there. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, and so on. Righteousness is us being in a right relationship with God. Okay, you know what it's like, don't you? When with someone else, you're not in a right relationship with them. Maybe you've upset them. You've said something and it's upset them. And you know what that feels like when you've got to meet up with them or you're coming to church maybe and you know you've upset someone. You're just thinking, oh, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to be with them because our relationship is broken. Things aren't right. Or maybe you feel, I want to get it sorted, but things aren't good at the moment. And you also know what it's like when you're in good relationship with someone. Maybe with your parents, you know, you were naughty and now things are restored and things are good. And you say, actually, we're in good relationship. We want to be together. It feels great. And we want to talk together and have fun together and play together and do whatever. You know, maybe grown-ups, you're not playing so much. But you want to be together. You've got good relationship. Righteousness is us having a good relationship with God, isn't it? It is us having a right relationship with God. And it's important to know the Bible says, in Romans chapter 3, so a little bit on from the verse we're looking at, there is no one righteous, not even one. That is important to take on board, isn't it? The Bible says no one is in a right relationship with God. Why? Because we all sin. We all rebel against God. We all, according to Romans chapter 1, replace God with something else. That is why we are not in a good relationship with God. So we are not righteous. We're not righteous people. We're not in a righteous relationship with God. So, for in the gospel, a righteousness, next bit, from God is revealed. Now, this is absolutely key, isn't it? In the gospel, a righteousness, getting right with God, this is from God and it is revealed. So, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. That is saying, righteousness is not something you can do yourself. You and I, we can't sort it out ourselves. We cannot get our relationship with God right on our own. Paul is saying we couldn't do that. Now, we know from elsewhere in the New Testament, don't we, that the way that we become righteous with God is by Jesus dying for us. It's an illustration we've used many times before, but let me just do it for you again. If this book, forget the fact it's a Bible, but if this book represents all the things that you and I do wrong, this is us. The book there, our bad things, get in the way between us and God, don't they? That means we are unrighteous. We are not in a good relationship with God. And then when Jesus came along, walked around on earth, he had done nothing wrong. He was righteous. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin, our badness, upon himself on the cross. And he cried out, "It is finished." Not "I am finished," but "It is finished." The mission he'd come to do, to deal with our sin, so that we can be in a right relationship with God. Maybe you've seen that kind of thing many times before, yeah? Okay? That Jesus takes our sin so that we can be in a right relationship with God. It is from God. We cannot sort it out for ourselves. And how do we get hold of that righteousness? On the screen there, it is by faith. I shouldn't have shut my Bible. It is by faith. How do we enter into a right relationship with God? By trusting Jesus. Nothing else. We can't sort out our own sin. God does it all for us. That is the gospel. That is the wonderful news that transformed Martin Luther. In his third book, so after he discovered this, he went into overdrive, writing lots. In fact, he wrote so fast that three printers, it's not like your printer connected to a computer, but three printers couldn't cope with the amount that he was writing. He had to slow down because he was just so gripped by this. And this is how the Reformation spread, because of the printing press. And he was able to write loads of things and get it copied and sent out. The third book that he wrote explained the gospel using a story. And the story was this. He said, imagine there was a king, a good king, a righteous king, a good king, a bold king, a noble king. And that king falls in love with a prostitute, an awful woman, terrible woman, very bad. He falls in love with her, though, and they get married. And what Luther said was, the moment the king speaks his wedding vows, that prostitute is transformed into being a queen. Though she is still a prostitute at heart, though she is still a wicked harlot, he would say, she is a queen now. Her status has changed. A joyful exchange has taken place. She gives to the king all she has, which is nothing but her sin. And the king gives her all he has, his goodness, his wealth, his royal status, his blessing. Everything he has goes to her. That is the picture of the gospel. That you and I, through trusting Christ, are transformed. Though we are still sinners, though we are still wicked sinners, through trusting Christ, our status is transformed. We become children of God. And, Luther said, in the security of that marriage, the prostitute starts to change, to become more queenly. She starts to change to become what she truly is. What is the gospel? Righteousness revealed. Righteousness given. It's a gift from God, received by faith. What the gospel is not. Now, like we say, we need to know what this is, because actually I think most non-Christians will think one of these two things. And all Christians, we will all one way or the other on this. So we all need to be aware of this, don't we? And think to yourself, which way do you err if you're a Christian? So, first one, what the gospel is not. Righteousness earned, or another word for it, legalism. Okay, Pathfinders, you're following it through on the sheet? Got to that bit? Okay. In this way of thinking, we do need to be righteous, we need to be made right with God, but we think to ourselves, it's down to us to do it. We've got to make ourselves righteous. All the emphasis is on you. It is about being good. Now, okay, just quickly, turn to the person next to you, only if you want to. And answer this question. What things do people think will get them in with God? What things do people think they've got to do to be in with God? Talk to the person next to you. You've got about 5 seconds. No, go. Go for it. Okay, well done. Shout some out. What things do people think will get them in with God that they've got to do? Shout some out. Go for it.
Give to charity.
Give to charity. Thank you. Yep. One thing. Sorry. Go to church.
Not be too bad.
That's quite a common one, isn't it? Well, I've not been too bad. God's standards are low. Yep. Okay. What else?
Keep the rules.
Someone. Helping others. Good works. Say again. Be holy. Yep.
Go to church.
Thank you. Now, a lot of these you say, well, they're not bad things, are they? Well, obviously, they're good things. But people think, okay, those are the things that you've got to do in order to be in with God. Now, this was the big misunderstanding in Luther's day, wasn't it? In Luther's day, it was, you've got to go to Mass. If you go to Mass, that will get you in more with God. Or if you visit relics, there were all kinds of crazy relics around, you know, a straw from Jesus' crib that was in some church that you go and visit and you get a bit more merit with God, or the, you know, hairs from Jesus' beard, or splinters from the cross, or, you know, I mean, there, all kinds of crazy things, which they would say, you go and visit those, you rack up merit with God. And we look at that and we go, well, that's bit nuts, really, isn't it? But you know, it gripped people. But still, people today will think that is what Christianity is. Non-Christians who think like this will think that basically, you hear it when people say things like "good people go to heaven." Yeah, that's this, isn't it? It's legalism. It's saying we've got to do it ourselves. Well, how good have you got to be? That was Luther's problem, wasn't it? How good have you really got to be? And he was racked by guilt. And so he would go to confession and he would spend hours and hours in confession, 6 hours sometimes in confession, confessing his sins to God because he wanted to be good enough. The thing is, Christians, we still err down this side as well, don't we? We still err down this way at times. And people who do, when we do, we will emphasize God's holiness. We'll say God is holy. But we'll kind of, it's not that we'll ignore God's love, it's just that it won't really sink into our hearts. It doesn't really have an impact on our hearts. We go, yeah, God is holy and pure, and his love, well, it just doesn't hit home. And we think, well, God is looking over us like a nasty head teacher looking over us, just going, where are you getting things wrong? Oh, you got that wrong, didn't you? You got that wrong. Now, it's important that we see, as we've already said, Romans 3 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. We cannot get ourselves right with God, however much we might try. And the danger of thinking like this for Christians, the danger of thinking that we've got to earn our righteousness is this. We end up in either pride or we end up in guilt, don't we? Pride comes where we think, okay, God's standards are here, I've got to meet those standards. Pride comes if we think we meet those standards. We think, well, yes, I do give to charity. I do the right things. I do go to church. God should like me. And God owes me, furthermore. And if we think the bar is there and we're above it, we think, okay, I'm doing all right. But if the bar is there and we think we're underneath it, we just feel terribly guilty all the time, don't we? We think, well, God's standard is there and I just don't match it. And I know the temptation for us as Christians towards guilt is incredibly high. Interesting, if you talk to people from Roman Catholic background, particularly so. Still, we could talk about that more afterwards if you want. But they particularly, if you say to them, how does guilt feature in your beliefs? They would go, oh yeah, guilt is massive. Because there's that thinking God is holy and therefore we don't match his standards. Now that is not the gospel. Is it? The gospel is not earned righteousness. It is revealed righteousness, given righteousness. What the gospel is not. Second thing. What the gospel is not. The gospel is not that there is no need for righteousness. This is the other way that we will tend to err. Is the thinking that there is no need for righteousness. God doesn't have that high standards, actually. God looks around the world like a sort of benevolent grandfather, looking on everyone, and everyone's sort of, oh, everyone's all right with God. Basically, everyone's already righteous, as it were, because God doesn't have very high standards. Non-Christians who think like that will think The message of Christianity is simply, God loves everyone. Now, that's not entirely untrue, is it? God does love everyone. But that's not the whole story. God does love everyone, but that's not how, you can't just summarize the gospel quite like that. You need to give more. And people will think being a Christian is just about loving one another. It's about Christian values. It's just, you know, it's just being nice to one another. And God loves everyone, and basically everyone will be all right in the end, kind of thing. And Christians who are this way, and I think this is really common, actually, because we've heard about legalism so much, and we've been warned against legalism, that we err a bit more this way, actually, is that we will want to hear about God's love, but we won't want to hear about God's holiness. We will want to hear that God loves us, but we won't want to hear about judgment or hell or those things. And actually, when you read through the Bible and you get to bits in the Bible where God is judging and it is so blatantly apparent, do you find that there are times where you go, I don't want to read this. I don't want to know a God like this. Ah, well, now that means maybe we're erring down this path of thinking actually in our head, God is not a holy God. God is... just doesn't have those standards. We also won't be that bothered and get serious about things like obedience to God or spiritual disciplines or that kind of thing because, well, God isn't really that bothered about those things. God's standards aren't that high. And, well, there's no need to tell others the gospel really because, well, basically everyone's all right. And, well, we can end up becoming lazy Christians, can't we? But of course, the Bible insists God is holy. Isaiah chapter 6, sorry, another word for this is license. Isaiah 6 says this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is holy. He is pure. And so the Christianity and the gospel are not that there is no need for righteousness. We need righteousness. Without it, we are destined for an eternity without God in hell. What the gospel is not. Let me just put both up on the screen, and then I'll come back to the gospel, and then we're done. The gospel is not legalism. We've said that. Legalism is saying God is holy, but kind of can't cope so much with God's love, and righteousness needs to be earned. That leads to, as we said, pride or guilt in Christians. License is saying God is love, but we kind of forget about God's holiness. And there's no real need for righteousness. The gospel. Don't think that, well, you've got legalism over here, you've got license over here, and the gospel is sort of halfway in between the two. No. The gospel is something different. Because the gospel says God is holy and loving. In fact, God is holier than the legalists think. Isn't he? Because legalists will think, we've got to earn our righteousness, you should be able to do it. But God is far holier than that. You will never get matched God's standards. We will never do it. God is far holier than legalists think, even though they might focus on God's holiness. But God is more loving than those who go down a license route think. How so? If there is no need for righteousness, basically, and God just loves everyone, what does God's love cost him? It costs him nothing. But if God is holy, then what does God's love cost him? It costs him the death of his son. It costs him Jesus dying on a cross. It means his love is even greater. Because the holier God is, the greater his love must be. See, God is holier than the legalists think and more loving than those who go down a license route. Think. And it means we need a righteousness revealed because we can't do it for ourselves and we do need it. We need God to give us righteousness. And I want you to see, just as we finish, this is the route to real change in a Christian's life. To real change. Legalists will think, well, I've got to change actually out of fear of God. Those who go down the license route, well, don't think they need to change. But those who trust in the gospel know we have been transformed. We've been transformed from prostitutes to queens. We've been transformed from guilty sinners to those who are children of God. We've been changed from those who deserve punishment, deserve hell, to those who sit with Christ. We've been transformed, and therefore, having been changed, though we don't deserve it, that is how we are changed in our actions, because we start to live as those who are children of God. We live out what Christ has made us. Have you understood what the gospel is? Have you understood what the gospel isn't? If this is brand new to you, investigate further. Keep finding out more about what the gospel really is. And if you've known this for a long time, maybe you've been a Christian for many years, do you know which way you tend to err? I think actually there can be different times where we err in different ways. But do you know which way you tend to err? And we need to make sure the gospel is keep being rammed into every part of our lives. Let's just take a moment. Maybe you've got something that you need to pray to the Lord about, something that he's put on your heart over the last 20 minutes. Just take a moment to talk to God about it. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the goodness and the glory and wonder of the gospel. We thank you that you reveal a righteousness to us. It is from you that we cannot earn it ourselves, but we do need it. And we praise you that we can have that righteousness through trusting Christ. And we pray, Father, I pray for everyone here that we would take hold of that righteousness through faith. Father, if there are those here who haven't yet done so, please would you open their hearts to receive the gospel. And for those of us who have, Father, please would you help us to see how we err from the gospel and what needs to change in our hearts. Father, please would you work that into each one of us. Amen.